Hello and welcome to the Human Innovation Podcast, where I bring you the latest and greatest in human innovation. Today, I have a special guest with me, Anthony Mangiello, co-founder and CEO of the Bulls and Apes Project. Anthony is a seasoned corporate executive with experience at companies like AXA and GE, and he's dedicated to helping people understand and embrace the new worlds of Web3. In our conversation, Anthony will share his insights on the benefits of Web3 for businesses and individuals, and he will also talk about the Bulls and Apes universe, NFTs, and an exciting venture opportunity for NFT holders of the Bulls and Apes project. Get ready to learn more about the future of human innovation, Web3, with Anthony Mangiello. Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, great to have you. Looking forward to learn from you about Web3, the Bulls and Apes projects, and more. But before we go into that, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. I've got a 20 plus year career in the corporate world. Pretty conservative industry, so commercial P&C insurance, working for large organizations like Excel and AXA, organizations that are global and big and an industry that's very conservative. So I did that, delivering strategy and transformation, working on M&A, spent a lot of time in the finance world, a lot of time in the tech world. So looking at disruptive technologies was always a piece of my areas of responsibility, but I never was an entrepreneur. However, when I heard about Web3, heard about the technology behind Web3, I was really intrigued and I started just exploring a little bit more and a little bit more. And then as I was exploring, I was connected to a number of different communities. And the community aspect of Web3 is really what was special and really started to draw me in. And I started volunteering my time on nights and weekends, helping different projects. What I saw through that is that, yeah, the technology has massive, and the community aspect has massive potential. It's a whole new way of operating a business, being able to tap into a community that is really engaged and dedicated to what you're trying to do. And so that was really pulling me in. And I was like, I got to get more involved. But with that, there's also some shortcomings in the space. And I'm sure that you and a lot of the listeners have heard about scams and rug pulls and 20-year-old kids that are working out of their mom's basement and just building stuff and then walking away and just being immature about the way that they're approaching business. But there's a lot of good players here too. And so myself and the other two co-founders, Manny and Guy, the three of us got together and we said, hey, you know what? Can we bring our experience to the table here? Can we add value? Can we make a difference? And we thought that we could. And so we jumped in and started the Bulls and Apes project.
Awesome. Before we go into the Bulls and Apes project, let's talk a bit fundamentals Web3. What is Web3 for the listeners who have never heard about it?
Yes. So Web3, it's really important to understand that the core technology behind Web3 is blockchain. And I know that we hear a lot about blockchain in the news, in write-ups, but very fundamentally, it's a ledger. That's all it is. It shows that here's an asset, here's who owns it, and here's what the transaction was. Just think about it very simply. And I know that for those that really know blockchain, like, wait a second, there's more to it than that. I get it. But fundamentally, it's a ledger and it keeps track of all of those transactions. So who bought this asset? Who owns this asset now? What was the history of all of those transactions? And what's special about blockchain is that it is public and it is decentralized. And so what that means is that anybody can see all those records. If you just get access to the blockchain, you see all the records, you know who owns what. And then it is decentralized, which means that you don't have to go through a central bank. You don't have to go through an intermediary to make a transaction. So it now allows for peer-to-peer transactions. In my mind, it's like digital cash. When you go to the flea market or you go to a shop and you're paying cash, there's no record of it, but it's from one person to another. And a blockchain similar is where it allows you to have that peer-to-peer without having to go through a PayPal or a credit card company or a bank in order to make the transaction.
Yeah. How does that relate to cryptocurrencies? Just that we get that into the description as well.
A cryptocurrency is one of those assets that is tracked on the blockchain. So when I say that there's those assets, the asset is really just a long digit or alphanumeric string. And the cryptocurrency is what is attached to that number. And so the blockchain keeps track of all of those transactions that are occurring.
Yeah. For those who have never heard about this topic, your project and what you're doing with your company is not a cryptocurrency. It's something completely different.
That's right. So we're based on a portion of Web3 technology called a non-fungible token, an NFT. And so we are based on NFTs, and that's the portion of the Web3 space that we're operating in.
Yeah. And I'm saying that because I have a lot of friends that come more from the corporate world and they haven't really been digging into Web3. And there's like, but this all cryptocurrency, that's all not working. It's that Bitcoin is down and I'm not looking into this. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because for me, there's the foundational understanding of the blockchain, which is the same like behind Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. But what you do is something different. And then the non-fungible token, the NFT, is a part of that, which makes it even more important for the future. Let's go a little bit deeper into the community aspect and what does it mean from a Web3 perspective?
Yeah, so I look at it as one of these things like Instagram, when Instagram came out. So when Instagram came out, you didn't have to go to Instagram to share photos. There were things before it. Snapfish, Amazon photos. There's other ways that you can share your photos. But when Instagram came out, it happened to be that place that everybody was coming together on and were sharing photos and commenting and sharing information with family and friends. It just happened to be that space, that platform that people were coming together, and it just snowballed from there. With Web3, right now, I'm seeing it as that place where people are coming together to collaborate and to come in together with creativity and to think through what are some of the solutions that we can use this blockchain technology for, more so than crypto. I think in the crypto space, and this is the differentiator to me between NFTs and crypto, in the crypto space, there's a lot more around speculation on where's the coins going to go. And in my view, NFTs, there's a lot more of that community aspect of collaboration and creativity. And that's what's special about what's happening in the NFT space right now. And we see it within the Bulls and Apes project as well. There's a lot of strategy and creativity and collaboration within our community and people helping each other. They're coming up with ideas. They're very entrepreneurial about where can we take this technology? How can we come together to add? And that's a special moment in time. And that's why I had to jump in.
Yeah. And for those listeners who have not heard about NFTs and or Web3, we did an episode, I think that was almost 1.5 or 2 years ago, where we talked about this, Josh and I. And I think it's very important to understand it's still early when it comes to this technology and the use of the community, the use of NFT. What is your perspective into the future when it comes to this space? Where is it right now in the time frame? But as well, how do you see it maturing over time?
Yeah, so the NFT is just a technology. It's like a website. And when web pages first came out, you saw them, they were pretty basic, right? It was having some information or maybe sharing some information about yourself. It was very much a one page, and it was very much like a newspaper or a magazine article. And now we know that websites are different depending on the business use, depending on what the business is, depending on the personal use. There are so many different use cases for what a website was. But when they first came out, people were like, what do I need a website? I don't need a website. And that's what we're seeing right now with NFTs. There will be a point in time when we're not calling them NFTs anymore. It'll just be whatever the function is. Is it a loyalty card? Is it a deed to a house? There would be so many different use cases for why you would use it, why you would leverage an NFT as a business or as a person. And I firmly believe that we're not really, the average person isn't going to call them an NFT or know that they're even trading an NFT.
Agreed. Tell us about the Bulls and Ape project and the universe around it as well.
We looked at our backgrounds, and I have the corporate background, and Manny and Guy are both serial entrepreneurs, very successful in their entrepreneurial career, and they've been longtime partners. And so they brought me in. So I'm the third wheel, but I've got that corporate background. So we looked at the three of us, and we're also looking at the space and who's coming into the space, this entrepreneurial minded person, this person who wants more, who's coming in because they want to be part of something special. So we came up with the two characters, the bull and the ape, and we decided to use those two because of what they meant. The bull, strong, charging forward, bull market. aping in with reckless abandoning, aping into investments. And so we really loved what those characters brought together. And so for us, it was always about being financially themed, about building wealth, about retaining wealth, and putting together a community that was based on that. Now, we have a lot of fun with it too. So there's, in my mind, there's always two sides to the Bulls and Apes coin. There's the NFT side, and then there's the community side. On the NFT side, we've got the bull character. There's over 500 traits. And so we've got these 10,000 bulls with all these different clothes, and it's all walks of life. So we wanted things that people can relate to in the collection, because the NFT does serve as a bit of a digital identity. People identify in the NFTs. And so we wanted to make it relatable. We have a whole lore that goes along and tells you the story of why the bulls are the bulls. Where did they come from? And that story helps bring to life everything that we do in our project. On the other side of the coin is the community aspect. And we've got a very entrepreneurial community. We've got a community that's very smart on the financial side. And one of the things that we offer to the community is VC deal flow. So we have deep connections in the venture capital world. And so we're offering curated deal flow opportunities to our community. And two of them we were allowed to announce. One was OpenSea, which is a secondary marketplace in the NFT space. So that one is Web3 focused. Most of our other deals were not Web3 focused. One of them was SpaceX. So our community was able to invest in SpaceX and own a piece of SpaceX, which is a pretty exciting opportunity to be able to say, hey, I own a piece of SpaceX.
That's amazing. Tell me more about how does that functionally work? So there are these bulls and apes, they're NFTs. Let's say in a very simple word, like pictures for people who have never seen about it. It's a picture of a bull.
Yep.
How do you get from a picture of a bull to participate in a deal flow and be part of a deal and get pieces of big companies? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's the beauty of the blockchain, is that what we're able to do is you buy the NFT, and yeah, it's a digital picture, but it's also that alphanumeric number on the blockchain. And that alphanumeric number is attached to your number, your ID, your digital wallet. So your digital wallet has a number on there as well. So what we're able to do is on our website and in our community, which is largely in this platform called Discord, we are able to check to make sure that you own one of those bulls. So now that acts as a membership card. So if you own a bull, we check it. We say, yep, you're allowed in. And so it's a gated community that where only bull holders are allowed to join. And it's in that gated community that we offer up the deal flow. We have the interactions between other community members, people helping each other. So it's a very protected environment, because only people that own the bulls can come into that environment. No different than a country club or a tennis club. They're very similar.
So how does it work from a customer perspective or a bull owner perspective? Where can they buy a bull for those who have never heard about it?
So we sold out May 31st. We had 10,000 bulls. We sold them out in about 67 hours. And now since then, you can buy and sell them on secondary marketplaces like OpenSea. There's another one called Looks Rare. There's X2Y2. And so all these secondary marketplaces, you can purchase them from another bull holder.
Yeah. So it's people have bought this entrance tickets to the community, and they're now community members who say, yeah, I want to sell my ticket, and correct, someone else can buy it, right?
That's right. And we've seen it. It's gone up in value 4X since we launched May 31st. So people have seen the value that we bring. And so now imagine when you're a member at a country club, you're on a wait list, right? And you got to go through the interview process and they let you in. But then when you're done, like, ah, you know what? I'm retired. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm moving away. You just walk away and you give up your spot. In this scenario, as that country club, as our community grows, that spot is worth more and it's worth more. So now our community is really has a vested interest in making sure this is as meaningful a community as possible. So they're growing with you. One of our sayings is we build together, we grow together. And that's what we do with a lot of our community members. Some community members are just very passive, but there are others who are very engaged in helping and offering other benefits to the community.
Yeah. How does it work? If we use the comparison of the country club, in a country club, you're getting selected to be in. How does it work in the Bulls and Apes project?
So you own a bull, you're in. So there's no selection process. Now, there are some sub-communities within the community where some community members have come together and maybe they do a little bit more of a selection process as possible, like in one of these sub-communities. But in the community overall, you own a bull, you're in. There's no selection process. And in a lot of times, one of the pieces of Web3 that's there is anonymity. There are people that, you know, their screen name, but I've never met them. I've never talked to them. There are other community members I've done face-to-face video calls with. It's very open. I know who they are. I know their names. We've done in real life events. We had an in real life event in Texas where 8 community members came in and we drove Lamborghinis and Ferraris. And we had this really insane 48 hours of fun just doing different events.
Yeah. So if we take all of this, what is the long-term perspective and what do you want to achieve with the Bulls and Apes project?
So our vision for our company is to create a world of infinite opportunities. And our mission is to empower communities where they can build their own worlds, where they could live their best life. And those sound big. And I know I'm the corporate guy, so it's just all corporate BS. But we mean it and we're doing it. We're actually doing it step by step. We have a couple of initiatives that were really groundbreaking for the industry. I mentioned that blockchain is public and I can see who owns one of our tokens, so I could offer them rewards. One of the things that we've done, which is industry breaking, is we're looking at who owns NFTs of other people's projects, looking on the blockchain because it's open, it's permissionless, there's no gatekeepers, no intermediaries, and we're rewarding them for holding other people's NFTs. So we started doing that. We're one of the first projects to do it. And at the scale that we're doing it. And that's to bring community together. It's to empower communities to create their own world, however they see fit. We're also looking at metaverse as a long-term play. And we want to build a metaverse where people can build little worlds within it, where they could live their best life. And so we see on the NFT side, we see all of this coming to fruition. We're launching the Apes right now. We had a big pre-sale event last night. We sold 5,000 passes to get an ape in 40 minutes, 5,000 of them in 40 minutes. They were about $275 US each. And so it was a pretty massive event. A lot of energy around it. We're doing another official sale event February 7th. These are going to be dynamic pictures where you're going to be able to have loot boxes and get different traits. And then you could equip your ape the way you want. And so there'll be 5,000 male, 5,000 female. We really want people to look at that ape and say, hey, you know what? I'm proud of this ape. It reflects me. I got to choose it. It wasn't just randomly selected for me. And so that's going to be a fun aspect. But that plays into the metaverse where we believe that in the future, people are going to be looking at the metaverse where they have a digital identity, they have a digital social life, and they're going to be able to interact. Now, that's one aspect. I mentioned the lore. The lore is really important because we've got about a little more than an hour of narrated video. And so it's storyboard art, narrated video. And I've got to say, the people that have seen the lore, it's multi-generational, the appeal. Kids love it. Adults love it. It's really immersive. It pulls you in. And so I think that there is a ton of opportunity for us to look at expanding the IP and growing the brand from that perspective.
Yeah. And that's, again, a value for the person that has this entrance ticket, which is the NFT. Because as further your business and the ecosystem grows, as more worth is the NFT, I guess.
It is. And the other aspect too, going back to put my corporate hat back on, in the corporate world, your customer is at arm's length in a lot of cases. Maybe you do some focus groups. Maybe you get some information. You've got some surveys. Imagine you have a community like we have right now. We have a community that is dedicated to us. They're involved. I'm talking to them on a daily basis. They're giving us feedback and we don't listen to it all, but some of it's some good ideas. And we reflect it in our product. Can you imagine in a corporate world, if you can look at this NFT model, build a community around your brand, and now you've got this dedicated community that is providing you feedback, but they're also massive brand ambassadors for you as well. And so the way I'm looking at it is to build it the Web3 way is we're building this community now, this community that is really engaged, so that when we do go to build the IP, now we have ambassadors that are already really into it. And so now you've got that core, and then you're just going to build around that core as you go. That's how I see brand building and IP building with a Web3 perspective.
It's interesting because coming from corporate myself, brand is the most important thing. if you look into a long-term perspective, if you're not into the get-rich-quick thing, you build a brand. And when you build a brand, you're going to be successful on the long run.
Absolutely.
And what is interesting for me as an entrepreneur and corporate thinker in the same way, I would just buy into it just from that aspect. Let's say I might not be interested in VC deal flows, but this aspect is, if you purely look into an investment opportunity, that's a good investment. If you see there is a brand that's going to grow. But as well, if you look into it from a community aspect, there's another benefit from meeting other people that are bond together with the same perspective of growing something, which in my eyes, there's always something magic happening.
There is. And what we're seeing now too is that some of our traits people have coalesced around. We have one where it's an alpha shirt and we have this alpha community. They all own a bull that has the alpha shirt on. And we're seeing it show up. One of our top community members has a gym in Australia, and you see the alpha in his gym. Like, that's he's branding, cool. He's using the branding. And by owning the bull, you have full commercial rights to the art. So he's allowed to use it, and it's part of his business. And so you're starting to see some of that happen, which is really exciting to see. And I'm just waiting for the time when we've got our core lore, and similar to Star Wars, where you had all of the fan fiction that spun off. I'm really curious to see who's going to be the first community member that takes their character and brings them to life in their own story that comes off of our core lore.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm now listening to this podcast episode as a follower of this podcast. Why is this interesting for me?
It may or may not be, but if you piqued your curiosity with it and you're looking at it and saying, wow, I saw Web 1, I saw web pages happen, and I saw the internet, or maybe I missed out on it, or maybe I didn't. Maybe I saw Web 2 when social started picking up and cloud computing started picking up, and maybe I took advantage or maybe I didn't. This is Web 3 and it is starting to pick up. And just like people doubted, why would anybody shop on a website? Why would anybody want a website? Why would anybody want to share information on a social platform? That's so dumb. Just pick up the phone and talk to your family. Well, everybody's doing it. They're saying the same thing now. They say, why would I want a picture of a monkey? Why would I want a picture of a bull? Everybody's going to be doing it. So either you're going to get in now and try to see, how can this impact my company? How can this impact what I do? How can I look at this technology and think creatively around it? Now, remember with Web 1, and I was involved in the corporate world then, it took us 3 massive iterations, massive spends to be able to get a website. And the same's going to happen for those that don't learn now with Web 3. You're going to try to catch up 5 years from now, and you're going to fail hard because you're going to be catching up with a bunch of money. Then you're going to fail again. Then you're finally going to get it right. But if you start now, and you start experimenting and you start testing, you're going to go through all of that learning iteration. You're going to see where people like us, you're going to see us innovating and learning, and you're going to learn from that. And so that's going to put you in a better spot. Purely from a strategic perspective, getting in early allows you to see the iterations and learn through as the innovators are learning.
Yeah, I love that. Specifically, as an innovator myself, you learn from the mistakes of the others while you just watch it. So it's not on your own risk. It's an opportunity. I agree.
It is. And then you buy a couple of NFTs, it's tuition. So, you know, you get it. And don't just, I'd love for you to buy a bull, but don't just buy a bull, buy a few, see what works, what doesn't work, get involved in a few different communities. And if you look at, if you get a few, 200, 300, 400, so for a couple $1,000s, you can get into a few different communities. And that's just, it's no different than buying a course, no different than going to a conference. We spend $2,000 on a course. We spend $2,000 on a conference. Think about it that way. It's an education process.
How can people get one of these apes or one of these bulls? You mentioned you're launching something in February. How does that work?
Yes. Number one, bullsandapes.com. We have a very in-depth website, ton of information there. We go through a lot of what we've accomplished over the past 8-9 months. We have our lore there. We have all of the gamification aspects. So you're able to see all that, but you're also able to see the full collection of bulls. And so we have bulls, we have teen bulls, and we have god bulls. So there's 3 different bull characters within. And so you get to search around. And through that, by searching around, there's a link to OpenSea, which is the secondary marketplace, but it's the top one. And so you'll be able to look to see what's for sale, click on it, go there, and you can make a purchase. That's for the bulls. For the apes, we are going to be launching the apes February 7th. And we have an allow list process. So on our website, you'll see instructions on how to join the allow list. You enter your email, you enter some information, and then we'll put you on a list where hopefully you'll have a decent opportunity to go and purchase an ape. And that'll be a first time launch on February 7th.
So how many apes will there be?
There'll be 10,000 apes. So 5,000 male, 5,000 female.
So that's quite a lot.
It is. We sold 5,000 last night in 40 minutes. So,
yeah, I was about to say, because I have followed a couple of other Web3 projects, it can get fairly quickly fast.
So if you're excited about an ape, your best chance of getting high up on the allow list is by owning a bull. So we're going to reward bull holders with early access. So that'll be your best chance at getting an ape.
So for those who are listening, buy first a bull and then get on the list. Awesome. Let's transition a little bit on your personal engagement and your story. So how was it for you personally going from the corporate into entrepreneurship, doing that yourself? What was the most difficult thing for you in the last years?
I've never worked in a startup before. And so it still is a startup. We have about 40, 45 people on the team, but we're very much in startup mode at the moment. We're starting to get a little bit more structured and organized. And I come from these big organizations where it's Six Sigma and it's process and it's all that fun stuff and very tight close schedules and financial close and quarterly reports and all of that, right? And so the startup aspect has been the most challenging for me personally. I'm the CEO, and so you're wearing a bunch of hats. You're jumping into things that you have no idea on. My background, commercial PNC, as I'm sure your audience knows, you work through brokers. So you're not even talking to the end customer. And sales, marketing, I have none of that. And so becoming a salesperson, coming on podcasts and doing Twitter spaces and talking to community and trying to get people to buy is all new to me, but that's been the biggest challenge. The other one is balance, right? It's very hard to have balance when you're doing a startup. And so my wife calls it bulls and apes with breaks. And that's been our life. Our life has been bulls and apes with some breaks in between.
At least I can say it for myself, it's 24/7.
Yeah.
Most of the time, at least. And you try to have Christmas in between or this kind of things. No, awesome. Let's go to the last part of the podcast where I ask a couple of questions that I ask every guest. If you could work with a project that is impacting every human being on Earth, what project would you work with and why?
Project that's impacting every single human being on Earth. So I believe that I am working on a project that at some point will impact a lot of people working in this blockchain technology. When I say create a world of infinite opportunities, that's our vision. What I mean by that is that there are so many people that are limited by gatekeepers and intermediaries. There's so many people that are limited by the opportunities that are in their proximity. I believe that with blockchain technology and the decentralized aspect that I mentioned before, being able to reward people without having to ask permission and to go through an intermediary, I do believe that this is creating a world of infinite opportunity and we're playing a role in. So this is the project that I want to work on. Outside of that, I would say you can't knock SpaceX. What SpaceX is, I mean, they're literally trying to find a new home in case this planet is no longer a good home for us. That's pretty freaking amazing too.
Yeah, it is. What advice would you give to a young innovator that's just getting started?
Get started. Take the step. I've always had an entrepreneurial bone in my body. It's always been there, but I never took a strong enough step. I worked hard behind the scenes after work and nights and weekends, but I never really took the step and got out of my comfort zone. My comfort zone was coding and it was working in the background and it wasn't sales. And now finally at 44 years old, I took that step and I put myself into that sales mode, which I'm not comfortable with. So to a young person starting out, a young innovator, a young person who wants to be an entrepreneur, man, challenge your comfort zone as quickly as possible. Challenge it.
I agree. I also say I should have done it in the 20s.
Yeah.
Where you don't have the family burden and that's need right. to be somewhere. You can just live in a house with or in a small apartment with five of your buddies and eat chips or whatever.
That's right.
Good. So where can people find you and how can people reach out to you?
BullsandApes.com is the best place to reach out for the company. On the BullsandApes.com, there's a link to my LinkedIn profile. I'm very open. I respond to DMs. You can find me personally on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn. Even on LinkedIn, I've got a Calendly and I have 30-minute sessions that I put on a weekly basis, and it's open for people to ask questions. It's open for people just to have a chat. So you could find my Calendly on LinkedIn.
Yeah, we'll put that as well into the show note. Anthony, thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure having you on the show, and I'm looking forward to the February.
Excellent. Thanks.
The Apes.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.